people that are home from the lake, things are kind of getting boarded up there, and now they're back here with us, and that's good to see. Also, we have a birthday boy. He's only 72 today, but happy birthday, Valdemar. May God bless you this day and many more days. Yeah. And we continue to keep your beloved Kathy in our prayers, too, for her healing. You may not be aware of this, but if you read the 431s I mentioned, Valdemar is going to be going and visiting his mother and celebrating her birthday with her. She will be turning 100 years old in the month of October. So thanks be to God for the gift of life and faith and walking with our Lord Jesus Christ. Good to have you all here. Remember, this week on Wednesday, we have the men's in-person Bible study here, and also the start of the women's study, which will be at the home of Judy and Lee Pierce. So please keep that in mind. And Judy, I think you have books here tonight too, right, for people?
Not books, but the directions to the house.
Okay, so she's got directions to the house and stuff, or if you need more information about the women's Bible study, she can tell you about that after worship as well. And then council meets this coming Tuesday, and Leroy had told me that he's got the cross pretty much ready, and so it shouldn't be too long, and we'll be able to plant that beautiful cross out there by our sign, and it'll just be another announcement to the community and to those driving by that this is God's church, where God's purposes and plans take place. So good to have you all here tonight. I think those are the announcements I wanted to highlight. So I'll invite you to rise as you are able for our confession and forgiveness. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. We sing together, Blessed Assurance. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord have mercy.
Christ. Christ eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord have
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, generously pardon and give peace to your faithful people, that being cleansed from every sin, we may be free and glad to serve. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 128, and we'll read it responsively. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house.
Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion.
May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
The second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. Well, God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him for a little while was made little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Behold, I and the children God has given me." Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked Jesus again about this matter. And Jesus said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to Jesus, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Earlier today, I recorded the children's message, untying the knot or keeping the knot tied securely, huh? Anyway, that's on the Facebook page of Emmanuel if you or your little ones would like to listen in. Rules or relationships? What is the heart of the matter? When we look at our scripture lessons for tonight, especially the gospel reading, we see that God is interested in relationships, right relationships, rather than having a rule for every matter under the sun. Rules, regulations, you know people, they're sticklers. They've got a rule for everything. And when they find out that something is missing, they just simply create another rule. Governing their lives with one rule on top of another. It was in the beginning, Genesis 1 and 2, that there was just one rule. But if we read carefully, it really wasn't even a rule, it was a warning. It's where God says, "This relationship means everything to me. So don't end it. Don't eat the fruit of the forbidden tree, because the day you do, the right relationship that we have will become a wrong relationship. The day you eat of the forbidden fruit, well, you'll die. The relationship will be dead." Only one rule, a warning perhaps. But by the time you get to Moses and Mount Sinai, you see that there is 10 words, the Decalogos, or what we call the Ten Commandments. And then a whole bunch of other rules and regulations about sacrifices, etc., etc., etc. And so by the time Jesus arrives on the scene, born in Bethlehem, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they've already accumulated 613 laws. Sticklers. The Pharisees were sticklers for the law. In fact, the law, the legal foundations, meant everything to them. It was the glue that held life together. And relationships? Well, that took a back seat at best. Rules, regulations, rights, Or is it a matter of right relationship with God and with God's people? What's it going to be? I mean, if you look at our gospel for tonight, all of a sudden bells go off because, I mean, I was thinking we could do a show of hands here tonight, but everyone would be raising their hand. I don't think there's a single person in here that doesn't know someone, or maybe it's a personal experience of their own, with divorce. It's become matter of fact. And so 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they want to know about this matter of fact. Divorce. What about it? Well, what's interesting in our gospel reading for tonight is that, and that's why I read an extra verse, that verse 1, because Jesus is in the region and he's teaching. He's teaching about the will of God, the Father. And for anyone who doesn't have a hard heart, for anyone who understands the seriousness of sin, they probably want to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, Rabbi, teach me. Help me to know. Help me to understand. Help me to learn. And so in verse 2 of our gospel reading from chapter 10 of Mark's gospel, immediately we find out that these legal experts, they know the laws, they're sticklers about the rules. They must be followed to the letter. And they come up and we're told right away, they could care less about a relationship with Jesus because all they want is the rules. They want to put him to the test. They want to trap him. They want to make him look foolish. It's all based upon a teaching at the time, 2,000 years ago. You had two major rabbinic schools of thought. You had Shammai and Hillel. And Shammai was conservative and said, divorce only when there's been infidelity, unfaithfulness. And then there was Hillel, very liberal, who said, anything under the sun. She put too much salt on your meat? Divorce her. She burned your toast? Divorce her, right? So you see, they figure, we've got this guy now. Because who is he going to side with? And no matter what, there's going to be division. We're going to trap this guy. And did you notice how Jesus responds to their question? Because they've come to assume that divorce is acceptable. It's a common practice in their day. So is it lawful for a man, notice how they phrase it, for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus answers the question with a question. Well, what did Moses command? You know, Moses, the author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so they quote Deuteronomy chapter 24, a portion of the end of Moses' farewell or final sermon. They said, well, Moses said that it's acceptable. He provided a certificate of divorce so that the man could send her away. And then the one that they are trying to trap, they end up trapping themselves. Jesus says, but why? Why was that concession made? Because of your hardness of heart. The heart is about the relationship we're going to have with God or not have with God. But if you're a stickler for the rules, if you want to find out some kind of a loophole in the law, how can we find a way to get away with this? It was because of your hardness of heart. That's why Moses gave you this concession. But, and we know something important is coming. Jesus says, but from the beginning, Genesis, from the beginning, God had a plan. God had an ideal. God has a desire, and that hasn't changed. You see, Jesus really doesn't want to talk about divorce. He wants to talk about what is good and right and pleasing to God. Good marriages, good families, right relationships with God and God's people in the household. From the beginning, it's good that you know Moses, but you didn't go far enough back. You stopped at Deuteronomy. What about Leviticus and Numbers? What about Exodus? What about Genesis 1 and 2? That's what Jesus does. You saw it. He quotes one verse from Genesis 1 and one verse from Genesis 2. And in the midst of the fabric of society 2,000 years ago, or the stuff that's happening today in our world, this is no small matter, my friends. I mean, consider things like self-identification, gender dysphoria. Consider all the new configurations that we just simply make laws about as far as, well, this is what we'll say marriage is. And we'll just make another law, and another law, and another law. And we'll just operate on the basis of one rule after another. And what's that going to do? What's it going to accomplish? Nothing. It will simply keep the status quo, wrong relationships continuing, wrong, wrong, wrong. When God wants to make us right with himself and with each other. From the beginning, Jesus says, let's go all the way back to the first pages of your Bible. He upholds the authority of God's word. He doesn't put it to a vote. He doesn't leave it up to a nation or the European Union or an individual state within the United States to make those decisions. He just simply says, let's go back to the beginning. What did Moses say in Genesis 1 and 2? Remember, he wrote that too. You're the legal experts. You got all the rules. God made them in his image, male and female. Yeah, but God made them in his image, male and female. And then Genesis 2. Therefore a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, naked and not ashamed. You see, that's what Jesus wants to talk about. Not about what we can get away with, not about how we're going to kind of reinvent things so that we can figure out a way of surviving this mess that we're in, but going back and saying, Father, you created all of us. Male, female, in your image. One man, one woman, united in sacred marriage. Holy Christian marriage. That's what Jesus wants to talk about. You notice when he gets into the house, the disciples are still confused. Can you talk a little bit more about this, Jesus? I suppose because sometimes we're so embedded in the rules, in the regulations, that we don't take time to consider the heart of the matter, which is about a right relationship, which is what God wants for all of us in the midst of our brokenness. Not to simply say, well, let's just make a concession and another concession and another concession and another concession. Jesus said it was your hardness of heart. In fact, it was to protect the women and children. Because otherwise someone might see a woman and see the children and go, oh, wonder what her story is. Wonder what she did. Well, the certificate of divorce allowed her to be able to say, I didn't do anything. He divorced me. And he left me and the kids bankrupt. It was to protect the wife and children, this certificate of divorce. But you see, the Pharisees, the good religious folks, the ones that have memorized so much of the Bible, they're just sticklers. Not sticklers for a right relationship with God, but sticklers for their own man-made inventions and human-made laws. You see, what Jesus is saying in our gospel is that marriage and gender identity is not up for grabs. It's not a human invention. It's an order of creation. It's a divine, holy, sacred ordinance. And isn't it ironic that in Mark chapter 10, that the good religious folks, the Pharisees, they don't really care about the right relationships. All they want to do is to put Jesus to the test and to trap him and to make him look foolish. Rick Santorum, in 1997, got a chance to speak at a college commencement exercise, you know, when the seniors are graduating. And in his commencement address, he was talking about how important it is to be in a right relationship with God, to discern God's will for our lives, to live for something that is bigger and deeper than our own self-desires. And then he shared this story. He said, there is a man, a Baptist preacher, and his whole life he's wanted to be a Baptist preacher, but he's wanted to be the president of a Bible college. That's been his aspiration, his whole life. And it finally happened. It finally happened. President of a Bible college. He was so delighted. But about the same time that he began serving as president of the Bible college, his wife was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And her Alzheimer's became so severe that she required constant care. And so this Baptist pastor had to make a decision. He knew that he could no longer care for his wife full-time and also be president of the Bible college. So he turned in his resignation to the college. And some of his closest friends were incredulous. They said, "You're crazy. This is foolish. Your whole life you wanted to be president of a Bible college, and now you're resigning from this? Your wife doesn't even know who you are anymore. She doesn't know you. Just pay someone else to take care of her." And this Baptist pastor looked at his friends and he said, "She may not know who I am, but I know who she is. She may not remember me, but I remember 40 years ago standing before the altar of the Lord and making promises in sickness and in health to love and to cherish for better, for worse, until death do us part. Her place, her home is with me, and our place, our home is with Jesus." You see what Rick Santorum was saying? It's not about concessions. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about, is it justified or isn't it justified? The heart of God is grieved. God from the very beginning designed what is holy, what is sacred. And human beings, this culprit we call sin, just makes a mess of everything. I mean, it's no accident that in Mark 10, when you talk about discipleship, that you've got the relationship of husbands and wives, then you've got the relationship of what about the kids, parents and children, and then next week, What about possessions and property? It's a mess, my friends. You know, I know, we've all got people that we love dearly that have been through divorces. And even if by the grace of God their joy is restored, even then there is the pain that lingers on. That's why Jesus goes back to Genesis. Not so that he can guilt people, not so that he can kind of slap people around and make them feel bad about themselves. He knows there's something better in life than concessions and what can I get away with? He knows that there's an ideal, a holy ideal, that all of us as God's people should strive for every day. Holy Christian marriage, marriage and family. Michael Hargrove tells this story. He says, I went to pick up a friend at the airport. This is before the 9/11 stuff, you know, when you could actually go out on the concourses and you could be there when they got off the plane and you could give them a hug and stuff. You know those days, most of you do. I remember those wonderful days. Michael Hargrove says, so I was there to pick up a friend. And all of a sudden, the guy comes off of the plane, and he's got a light suitcase in each hand, and he's walking, and he's almost right up beside me. And all of a sudden, this little five-year-old comes, tearing, wham, grabs a hold of him. And this man picks up the little boy and says, oh, man, son, I love you. I missed you so much. I missed you too, Daddy. I love you too. And he sets the five-year-old down, and here comes walking right up here is the 10-year-old son. And he kind of reaches out his hand and does a side hug with his dad. He said, son, you're growing into quite a young man. I'm so proud of you, and thanks for taking care of things while I was away. And then there's the little one-and-a-half-year-old, this cute little girl. And dad picks her up, and he wraps his arms around her and gives her a little kiss on the cheek and says, oh, do I love you. Boy, did I miss you, sweetheart. And then he says, and I saved the best for the last. He hands the little one-and-a-half-year-old to his 10-year-old son, and then he grabs his wife, and he just plants one of those long, passionate kisses on her. And Michael Hargrove says, I was standing right within a couple of feet watching this whole episode unfold. And this whole episode, he said, changed my life forever. I looked at this and I said, sir, I hope you don't mind if I ask you a question, but how long have the two of you been married? And the man that had gotten off the plane, he said, we've known each other for 14 years and we've been married for 12 years. Well, then how long have you been away? And the man that got off the plane, he said, 2 whole days. 2 long whole days. And then Michael Hargrove looks at him and says, man, I sure hope that after 12 years of marriage, my wife and I still have this kind of passion in our marriage. And the stranger, the man that got off the plane, he looked at Michael Hargrove and he said, don't hope, decide. Don't wish as though it might be, you know, like blowing out the candles at a birthday party on the cake, you know, you make a wish, or when you have the wishbone on a turkey. Don't wish, don't hope, decide. And Michael Hargrove said, that was a word and that was an event that changed my life forever. Rules, regulations. I mean, people want to reduce everything to, yeah, but this is how I self-identify. Well, I'm sorry. But God, your creator, has already said, the only identity that matters is what I give to you. You are male, or you are female in my image. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, naked and not ashamed. Now, those are the words of Jesus. Those are the words of Scripture. They're not my opinion, because quite frankly, my opinion doesn't matter too much. But the Word of God, they matter. They matter more than anything else in all of creation. Did you know that in the country of Hungary, I just learned this past week. You see, if a person wants to learn, we can always learn new things, right? The country of Hungary in the European Union, they put their constitution together in the year 2011. And you know what their constitution, the country of Hungary, you know what it's based upon? The Bible. Seriously. Their whole constitution is based upon being faithful to the Word of God. So in the Constitution from 2011, it says, marriage is one man and one woman. It says that life is sacred from conception on. They even have in there that a mother is a woman and a father is a man. Who would have thought that we would have to define in all of these legal documents all this stuff when we could instead listen to Jesus and go back to the beginning, to Genesis 1 and 2, and hear what it is that is pleasing to God? We wouldn't need all kinds of rules and regulations if what we focused on instead was relationships. I mean real love. Not fake love that says, well, you know, if I love you, then I gotta agree with everything you say and do. But Jesus' love for another person that goes all the way to the cross. You know, the bridegroom and the church is his bride. And he bestows upon us a forever love. That's a relationship that has permanence. Not just until death do us part, but what God joins together, let no one separate. They were bringing children to Jesus so that he might bless them. And the disciples, they rebuked them. We got a nursery, you know, for crying out loud. They rebuke them. And what does Jesus do? He takes one of the little ones up into his arms, squeezes them like that father in the airport, and says, you want to get into the kingdom of God? You better learn how to get small. Unless you become like a child, you can't get in. This is owned property of God. And he laid his hands on them. And he blessed them. You see, that's what relationships are all about. What is pleasing to you, Lord? Seeking the will of God. And then extending the hand of blessing. That forever love of Jesus upon the little ones. Whether that child be 90 or 100, or whether they be 4 or 5 or 28 or 37. You see what God has done? The Father has joined you with his Son. There can be no provision for divorce in our relationship with Jesus. You really want a concession? When we're talking about eternity? He laid his hands upon them and he blessed them. Get in like a child. Or be a rule stickler and don't get in at all. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for our hymn of the day. Has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sisters and brothers, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And please, this night and in the days ahead, share the peace of God with one another. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that we don't pass the offering plates, but the baskets are in the back there. And as the Lord leads you to support his holy work here and other places, I pray that you will be generous in offering gifts to God for his glory. Let us pray. Holy God, our bread of life, our table and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. And so we take the bread and the wine that has been given to us. In the night in which he was betrayed, Our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So please take your bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, and take off the top part where the bread is. This is the body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat. And then we peel back the tab with the wine. This is the blood of Jesus shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. Please rise for the table blessing. Now may the assurance of our Lord's resurrection and the promise of his coming again strengthen you in faith and keep you in hope unto everlasting life. Amen. We continue with our closing prayers.
Thank you, dear Father, that we may call you Father and Jesus brother, and know each other as sisters and brothers, united to Jesus through your Holy Spirit. Thank you that this happens even when our earthly family is troubled or absent. Help us extend your family love to all who need you most. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, you appointed Jesus as our high priest and elder brother. Form your church into his temple and his home. Make it attentive and faithful to your word. Use it to challenge and comfort us, for we struggle with sin and temptation. Let us take heart and cling to Jesus, who was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Grant that we may share his life forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, by ties of blood and faith, this congregation is a family. Help us to be your family and to lovingly befriend and mentor new sisters and brothers in Christ. Give us boldness to invite, patience to teach, wisdom to counsel, kindness to embrace, and gentleness to encourage them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, let all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit find welcome and healing in our Savior's arms. We pray for these we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for Randy Olson. We pray for Ariana and Paige and Melody. We pray for Deb Spitzer and Eric Miller, for Amy Cooper and Jeremy Snyder. We pray, Lord, for Tom and his battle with Lyme disease. We pray for Kim, that she would have safe travels and a spirit-filled visit with her cousins, especially Sam and June and Jane. And Lord, we pray that you would be with Mary Ann Grove and continue to heal her broken foot. Continue, O Lord, to comfort those who grieve and sorrow the loss of loved ones. And we remember especially this day the family and friends of Darlene DeFrank.
Grant them your grace, mercy, and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Incline your ear to our prayers, dear Lord, and answer them according to your most gracious and holy will. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together our sending song, Go, My Children.
Go, my children, with my blessing, never alone.
Waking,
sleeping, I am with you. You are my home. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing. You are my home. I, the Lord, will bless and keep you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will smile upon you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will be your Father, Savior, Comforter,
and Brother.
Go, my children,
I will keep you
and give you peace.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.